Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Bachelor with the author, Ronald White. His new book is On Great Fields, Life and Unlikely Heroism of Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, a professor at Bowdoin College, a man who has nine languages and a wife and two children, and he's now semi-commanding the 20th Maine, a volunteer regiment, infantry, and they're following the Army of the Potomac, the Battle of Antietam in Pennsylvania. This is 62, late 62, and what we have here is a man who wants to get involved, but because they're not called upon that day, they're part of the wing that is not thrown into the battle, I believe the Fifth Corps. He watches it from a hill. What does he make of it, Ron?
He's held in reserve, but he sees the terror of war, the incredible battle casualties simply within one day. He doesn't even want to quite tell Fanny how awful war is, but he begins to understand that their maybe romantic vision of what they could do is now confronting reality.
General Hooker rides by, and he exchanges words with him. What does he tell the general?
Well, he tells the general that the strategy was not really very effective, that they should have done it differently.
And you should have put us in. So, okay.
Should have put us in.
We go to Fredericksburg, and now his regiment, which is not blooded yet, as he understood it. This is December of 62, and the frontal assault on the Lee's forces is a massacre. Where is 20th Maine in that assault?
Well, the 20th Maine is sort of caught in the middle of this, not really at the front, but casualties are all around them. Overnight in the freezing cold, he's actually sleeping literally on the dead body of a Confederate soldier. So now the reality of war does come home to the 20th of Maine.
They proceed into 63, and as I recall, the inoculation becomes a crisis in the whole army. This is about smallpox, and they had a serum, and they were inoculating a little bit of smallpox, makes it possible for you to survive a bigger bout. But they have, my memory is that it's a bad vaccination. What goes wrong?
Yes, most of the soldiers had been inoculated before they entered the battlefield in their home state, but not the 20th of Maine. And so the serum, as you suggest, that they took was defective. And so suddenly, instead of being a part of the battle, they're part of the small, what they call the smallpox camp. That's his new command. Camp Smallpox.
Yes, there.
And then some die, many are sick. It's a terrible moment for the 20th Maine.
They have casualties in the...
They have casualties, that's right, yes.
In the 20th Maine, but they miss Chancellorsville, which is another defeat. And Chamberlain at this point is getting stronger in his command ability. How does he relate to his command?
Well, Adelbert Ames, a West Point veteran, also a Mainer, was in charge of the 20th Maine, just 26 years old. The men hated him. They thought he should be the first casualty of the Confederates because he was strong-willed, disciplinarian. But Chamberlain took the discipline well. He understood that this man knew far more than he did, and he wanted to learn everything he could from Adelbert Ames.
The war is going very badly for the Union. They're regarded as disorganized, without good leadership. And everyone blames Lincoln if they can't blame the general. He's changing generals so swiftly you don't know who to point fingers at. Does Chamberlain write about the disappointment of the generalship, Ron?
He doesn't really. That's not who he is. He's not a critic. He's not a complainer. He understands that this is a difficult moment, and he wants to make the best of it.
It is June of 1863. Lee has taken his army north, unknown where. And Chamberlain at 20th Maine is part of the 5th Corps, and they're strung out from Maryland all the way to Pennsylvania. They're ordered to force march. Where are they going?
They're going towards, not knowing at the moment that they will actually go towards Gettysburg, and the average march, a long day's march, might be 18, perhaps 20 miles, but there are days when the 20th Maine will march 30 miles. It's a very rigorous march in weather conditions, heat and humidity that they had never faced, these men living in Maine.
Without good water sources, and they're marching and marching, and they don't know what is at the end of the march. We need to go right into Gettysburg is a meeting engagement. That's what the history books tell us. But what, the way Ron presents it is quite correct. Nobody knew what was going on. The information was not accurate. It was mixed. You were given an order by sometimes an officer you knew, sometimes an officer you didn't. The 20th Maine is told the night before, get to the battlefield as quickly as possible. We need you. On the first day, July 1st, the Union forces fare very badly, and they're pushed all the way back to Cemetery Hill. The presumption by the Confederate forces, who are arrayed around them with heavy infantry. Heavy infantry is the tanks of the Civil War. And
yes,
the ability of the Confederates to plow over the Union forces has been their success so far. On the second day, we have a crisis because the Union Army is arranged in a defensive position, which is called a fishhook. Where is 20th Maine on the afternoon of the second day, Ron?
Well, the 20th Maine is marching now into Gettysburg, and Gouverneur Warren, it's a wonderful statue there today with his spy glasses or field glasses, looks up at this craggy hill called Little Round Top and said, oh my goodness, it's undefended. Whoever will get to the top of Little Round Top will have a great advantage. And so the rush is to get to the top and therefore to defend the far left of the Union line.
Is the fact that 20th Maine is part of a brigade, is that an accident, or did Warren go in? Warren is the engineer of the army.
Yes.
Does Warren go and get that brigade, or does it just happen along the first people he sees?
Well, he wants to go forward, but it is Strong Vincent, the brigade commander, a Harvard graduate, who says, I'll take the command. We don't have time to sort of get someone who's senior to me. And then he gives the order to Chamberlain, you are to defend the far left line at all costs. Hold this line.
It's a brigade. It's not just the 20th Maine.
No, it's not just the 20th Maine. There's five, I believe, regiments within the brigade.
And they array themselves. Well, they scout out where they are because they haven't got maps. They've never been there before. What does Lawrence Chamberlain make of the position that they're given?
Well, they're trying to see where they are. And at that moment, as Strong Vincent tries to see where they are, he is struck and ultimately killed. It's a very precarious position. They're not quite sure of where the enemy is. So Chamberlain strings his men out at the far left of the five brigades will be the five regiments will be the 20th Maine.
Yes. And what we have now is an advance by the heavy infantry of the Confederacy. And the idea here is to overwhelm the Union forces. This is the moment that is debated the rest of the century and into this century. The 20th Maine is accidentally on the left flank of everything. And they're looking down a hill there's photographs in Ron's book. You can see what they're looking down from. There are trees, there are rocks, but they have some vision of what's coming up the hill. They can see as the Confederates advance. Is that correct, Ron?
That's correct. The Alabama, and on the other flank of Alabama is Texas. Forces that are much larger than the brigade and the 20th Maine defending Little Round Top.
What, they have 60 rounds each? I can't remember the statistic. They don't have enough ammunition.
They begin to pick up ammunition from the fallen Confederates, but very quickly they run out of ammunition.
And there's a brigade line here, and the 20th Maine is at the left. However, Lawrence has an idea about how to cover his flank. What does he do?
He wants to position them so on the far side no one can surprise them, and then he wants to have kind of a wheeling motion as they, he says, bayonet, just some one single word, and they come crashing down the hill against the surge of the Confederates.
And here's the moment that is most peculiar. The Confederates, they're different units here, Alabama, Right. But they've been advancing in this heavy fire coming down from the brigade above them. And they're exhausted. They're coming up a hill, and they're being struck down. And yet they still outnumber everything that's above them. They don't know that. They outnumber it. And here comes a bayonet charge. Now, I think you report, Ron, that a bayonet charge was unusual.
Very, very unusual. So this is not the usual way that one would fight. But when you've run out of ammunition, this is all that Chamberlain has left.
And Chamberlain confronts an officer who has a pistol raised at Chamberlain. What happens?
The pistol is raised, pointed right at his forehead. And Chamberlain literally speaks to the man and stretches his hand out and takes the gun away from him. And now that gun is on display at the Chamberlain House in Brunswick, Maine.
Yes,
a remarkable story.
There's no way that's believable. All right. So Chamberlain lives to tell the tale another day. After the successful defense of the position, the Confederates retire. Chamberlain has been ill, and he's ill again. So he's rotated. He goes back to Maine to visit home, but he's rotated into other duties because of, was it malaria that he had this time, Ron?
He had malaria. People didn't fully understand what was malaria and how to treat it.
There are battles to come. Chamberlain, remember, he's 34 years old. He speaks 9 languages. He's a professor, esteemed, with an invitation to Europe for 2 years on pay. He's got a wife and 2 children, and a position of great authority back in Maine, and he's coming back to war. The book is On Great Fields, The Life and Unlikely Heroism of Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. Ron White is the author. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.